You're listening to Paddy Pigskin with Gary Somerville in association with DraftKings.
Hello and welcome back to the Paddy Pigskin podcast in association with our wonderful sponsors, DraftKings, the leaders in daily fantasy sports. I'm Gary Somerville and it's a lovely evening here in Boston, Massachusetts. Lots of playoff sports going on. We got hockey, we got basketball, and the Red Sox are in town. Life is good for sports here in Boston, Massachusetts. We are less than 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. The hype is starting to build, and we are going to be doing a mock draft on the Paddy Pigskin podcast. We're going to do it on Facebook Live during the week, so make sure you check us out on social media. We're on Instagram, we are on Twitter, and of course, we're on Facebook. That's where our mock draft is going to be going on. Make sure you tune in. It's going to be in a few days. I'll put up a social media post about it. Me, Barry, and Jer are going to be making our picks for round one. That's 32 picks. Probably going to be a few shocks and surprises in there, but we'll do our best to guess as many as we can correctly. So make sure you tune in for that. This week, the lads have a break. I'm giving them some freedom from the studio, but I have Steve O'Rourke, the NFL man in Ireland from the 42.ie. Steve is on to chat. Some draft talk, not too much. We'll save a lot of it for the mock draft. We're also going to chat about the Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid situation. Those issues are starting to pop their ugly heads back up again in the NFL. Will they get jobs? Who knows? Time will tell. We will also chat about Steven's time with some of the NFL players that visited Ireland. They did some NFL UK shows in Dublin, also in Belfast. So we'll chat about that as well. Jam-packed show, full of great chat, full of great banter. Stay tuned for all of that on this week's episode of Paddy Pigskin. One bit of info I somehow forgot to mention was we are on Spotify now. So we've been added to the big leagues. You can find us on Spotify. It's great because it's an app that works across all different devices. And you can flick between your favorite football podcast, Paddy Pigskin, and your music. So check us out on Spotify. If that's your preferred platform, that's where you can find us. And I also made a Paddy Pigskin playlist as well. So that playlist you can find as well if you search for it on Spotify. It has mainly rap and hip hop, a lot of songs that are on the show, a couple of rock songs in there as well, and plenty of music you can work out to and get yourself hyped up before a football game or whatever on there. So check them both out, the Paddy Pigskin podcast on Spotify and also the Paddy Pigskin playlist. So it's episode 33, one of my favourite numbers because I'm Irish as fuck and I don't pronounce my H's, and it's for Tony Dorsett, who I actually shared a birthday with on April 7th. And to be honest, I didn't really get many birthday gifts from listeners. Maybe they're just lost in the mail or something. So I'm expecting those to come in over the next few days. Dorsett played his high school ball in Aliquippa, Hopewell, in Pennsylvania, where he started a cornerback initially because his coaches felt his 147-pound frame wouldn't be big enough for a running back, but he eventually got his shot at running the rock. He went on to play college ball at the Pittsburgh Panthers and won the Heisman Trophy in 1976. He was also the first Pitt Panther to have his jersey retired. The Dallas Cowboys selected him second overall in the 1977 NFL Draft under head coach Tom Landry. He would go on to play 11 seasons in Dallas with his final year at the Denver Broncos. During his career, he went to 4 Pro Bowls. He was first-team All-Pro in 1981. He was the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year in 1977. He also won a Super Bowl ring, Super Bowl 12 versus the Broncos in 1978, and he also had a touchdown in that game. He finished his career with 12,739 yards, 77 rushing touchdowns, and 13 receiving touchdowns. He's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's in the College Football Hall of Fame. And like our last player dedication, Marcus Allen, he's one of the very few to win the trio of the National Championship in college, the Heisman Trophy, and a Super Bowl. So episode 33, running back Tony Dorsett. This episode is for you. So without further ado, let's crack on with this week's show of Paddy Pigskin.
You know, whenever we link up, my nigga, they think this shit come from outer space or something. Nigga, let's get this money, nigga. Woo! Woo! Mastermind. ROC, WMG. Jay, I got it. Four stacks for the heels on my bitch feet. Car seat still smelling like 10 keys. Tell a plug that I'm looking for an increase. Wingstop, fat boy, need a 10 piece.
And I'm giving Barry and Jer a breather this week so I can catch up with, I say the, he's not just one of the, but he's the NFL man in Ireland. That is, of course, Mr. Steve O'Rourke from the 42.ie. Steve, thanks very much for coming on. How are you doing?
Not too bad, Gary. How are you?
I'm not bad. Can't complain. Friday here, coming into Boston. Baseball is back. All the sports are on now at the moment, so... Yeah, it's a pretty good time to be in Boston for sports, and the Pats aren't playing, so I don't have to deal with that shite either.
And did I see you were in Fenway for the brawl with the Yankees?
That's right, yeah. We were at the game on Wednesday night. Of course, it was the one game that they lost out of the three-game stand against the Yankees. But yeah, there was a little bit of fisticuffs there. One of the Yankees players slid in on the second baseman with his cleats up and kind of took the leg out, and then later on, the relief pitcher for the Red Sox just absolutely drilled one into his back, and then all bets were off there. Your man charged the mound and the bullpen's cleared, and that's it. The rivalry is back on again.
You almost made baseball sound exciting.
It was a long game. It was 3.5 hours and it was getting a little bit nippy in Fenway, so I can see why people would be a little bit adverse to watching a game that goes on for 3.5 hours. But it's not cricket. They stop for tea and they have a fucking night watchman when it comes to cricket, so it's not that bad.
I think that's fair. And I do think, baseball has its moments. It's unfortunate for baseball that the most exciting part of the season is when people actually are starting to watch football again. And so they lose the buzz from the World Series.
That's it, yeah. But the kind of the rivalry between the Sox and the Yankees had been a little bit quiet over the last few years because neither of them had really been winning anything, but this seems to have flared it back up. They have two big teams with a lot of money, so there's a lot of expectation on the team, so it was good to see a few digs being thrown, you know. So it's always nice once nobody got too badly hurt. It's always nice to see
a few digs, a few bruises rather than broken bones on your grand.
But a little straightener, nobody gets too badly hurt and everybody's happy. So we'll move away from baseball. We'll talk about what we know a little bit more about, which is football. We'll chat about a few things this week, but firstly, you had the pleasure of hanging out with some NFL players there 2 weeks ago in Dublin. So for people, I guess most NFL fans in Ireland probably knew this was going on, but you got to get up close and personal with some of the guys from the NFL. So what did you get up to? What did you chat about with some of the NFL's best players?
Yeah, we had Earl Thomas and Rob Ryan in the office with the Vince Lombardi Trophy, and I swear, it's going to sound like an absolute humble brag without the humbleness. we get trophies into the office all the time. This year alone, in the last kind of year, we've had the Six Nations Trophy, we've had the Premier League Trophy. I have never seen anything like the queue of people waiting to get their picture taken with the Vince Lombardi Trophy.
Oh, because, really?
Yeah, well, it's one of the most symbolic trophies in sports, for a start. It's a sexy-looking trophy to begin with. So that obviously helps. But I was also thinking, what the fuck is the Vince Lombardi Trophy doing in an office in Dublin, you know? It was a bit surreal. We actually had accountants in doing an audit at the time, and even they queued up to get their pictures taken. And they were like, Jesus, this never happens in KPMG, you know? So,
And I had no idea. I didn't even realise that Jay Ajayi was going to be one of the guys that was coming over. I just thought it was Earl Thomas. Course from the Seahawks, maybe the Cowboys coming up. My boy Landon Collins, of course, and Alex Collins, the Irish dancing football player. I didn't know Ajayi was there, so when I saw the Lombardi, I was like, Jesus, that was the first I knew of it, that he was coming over. So did he bring it in himself, or was it somebody else?
So it was Thomas and Rob Ryan brought into our office. Right. They kind of split everyone up around the place. Ajayi was in London anyway, because obviously he has family there or whatever. So it was very fairly short flight for him.
I'm assuming he flew Ryanair, did he?
Oh, 100%. The trophy itself got two seats on its own, you know?
So that's 99 cents a seat.
Alex Collins was really popular with TV because they wanted to keep him Irish dancing his way around Ireland, which I'd say he's fairly sick of at this stage. But we were basically told, look, you can chat to the lads for anything you want. But as you know yourself, like it's the NFL off season. It's fairly kind of, we were a bit worried if we filmed anything, it would date really quickly. So when we got Earl Thomas, like, you know, even to the extent where he introduced himself on camera as a Seahawks safety, like, I mean, that could be changed by the time the season comes around,
and I
told him, like, you know, look, if you get a phone call from your agent while you're here, feel free to take it. Like, we will absolutely take that breaking news when it happens. But no, he didn't get any phone calls, sadly. But we just, few questions, kind of kept it light enough, asked them about kind of favorite cities to play in, hardest player he's ever come up against, that kind of thing. And Thomas himself, he was a bit quiet. I think I
did notice that. All right, a lot of the media that was kind of done, you know, like I think it was UCD American Football were involved with the NFL UK kids clinic or something like that, and Earl, he just seemed to be a quiet guy, you know. I don't know if he's like that in general or he's kind of mulling over where his career is going to go.
Maybe it was the second thing that you said there, but I actually think he's just a quite shy person. He's very focused. He's very, like, I mean, like the most kind of animated he got when I was talking to him was when he was getting into kind of the best piece of coaching advice he ever received, which was essentially how to cover players, you know, using outside leverage or whatever. Like, so he was talking about the X's and O's, he was great. Like, but when you kind of tried to knock a bit of crack out of him, he was just that little bit quieter. And, you know, not everyone is full of joie de vivre, as they say. Whereas Rob Ryan, like the second the camera turned on, you know, you can see the media training, you can see the personality just oozes out of him, you know. And like, to be honest, I'd completely forgotten that Ryan's first Super Bowl win had come on the year of the Tuck Rule. So, like, he started talking about the Tuck Rule being the most important game he was ever involved in. And, you know, obviously, as your listeners know, at this stage, I'm a long-suffering Raiders fan. So to have someone in front of me talking about how the Tuck Rule was a great decision and shaped his career as a coach was hard to swallow now. But
you want them telling the fuck off, didn't you?
The professional in me kept it calm, but yeah, the Raiders fan in me was tempted to cut the interview very short, you know.
And what was the deal with the Ryan brothers being over there? Because I noticed a couple of other players have been touring the USO facility, so you know, the overseas, you know, military personnel and stuff like that. And Mark Sessler from Around the NFL podcast has been over with, I think Rex Ryan is going on those trips, and he's there with Mark Ingram and one or two other players. What's the deal with the Ryan brothers going on all these trips? Is there a specific reason, or are they just like, fuck it, let's go and tag along to Ireland for a piss up?
Well, I think it's that thing I kind of said. It's that they're full of personality, and they, you know, how much you respect them as coaches is, you know, like, dependent on which team you support. I mean, if you're a Jets fan, you might have fond memories of Rex Ryan, and you might hate him. You know, it's one of those situations. Like, he did a lot for the club without ever getting them over the hump, really, I suppose. I just think they're good dudes on camera. Like, they just work really well when they're put in front of a microphone or put in front of a camera. And this, like, the trip with the lads that we were involved with was basically to do with the event that the NFL UK and Sky Sports were running, which was essentially to sell tickets for the London games this year. And, you know, the best one of them all was Landon Collins. I mean, you know, you're a big fan, I know, of Mr. Collins. And I did a public Q&A with him for Elvries. And that was, like, you know, insane, because it was ticket only and it was very limited, because obviously you got a chance to have a chat with him and photo and autograph. So they had to limit the numbers fairly dramatically. But, you know, he was just brilliant. Like, he would answer kind of fairly light questions, and he'd get into a lot of detail in the X's and O's and stuff. And we spoke about, you know, Sean Taylor obviously was a massive influence on his career. He wears Taylor's number. he got quite emotional about that, and he was saying like he realizes the irony of, you know, he's in that division with the Washington professional football team. He's supposed to hate them,
yeah,
and yet his hero played for them and is probably one of the star players in that franchise's history.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a strange situation for him. Like, you know,
it's nice though that he's able to put that rivalry aside because it's a guy you look up to. You know, it was a hero of his when he was probably still playing in high school. So it's nice to see that he's able to put all that bullshit aside and just respect the guy for who he was.
Yeah, like the guy he spoke to the longest was a guy in a Sean Taylor Washington jersey, you know. So that'll tell you, like, for all the Giants fans that were there, the person he spoke to the most was a Washington fan. So he was a really good guy. He's going to be working in media when his career finishes in football. You can just tell with these people sometimes, like, you know, which ones are going to make, which players are going to make, which aren't. Landon Collins is definitely someone who, and you can listen to him all day, like he talks about football with a passion and with a knowledge that, like, you know, you kind of, if every interviewee I ever spoke to, it, regardless of sport, was like that, my job would be so much easier.
Maybe Paddy Pigskin can give him a job down the line, seeing as he gave us a shout out there a couple of weeks ago. He was very nice to give us a shout out all the way from Belfast, so I did appreciate that. He's going to get paid big time now over the next year or two. Say the Giants are going to have to back up the Brinks trucks, as they say over here, to pay him and Odell if they keep the two of them, that is.
This is the thing, though. Like, it's been an interesting market this year, certainly for secondary players. So maybe Collins is better off that his contract wasn't coming up for renewal this year. So, because certainly no one seems to want to pay anyone in the secondary this year in particular. So... yeah, but like they'd be mad not to keep him. He's a phenomenal player. We spoke about it. We spoke about it kind of, I think, around this time last year when we were talking about the draft and players needed and stuff. And, you know, you at that stage, you were like super high on him. And there's no reason not to be anymore, you know.
Thankfully, he performed as much as I hyped him up. And I don't sound like a crazy little fanboy now hyping up this guy that nobody really knew a crazy amount about outside the kind of Giants fan base. But everybody knows who he is now. I mean, he was drafted, or he was selected for another Pro Bowl this year. Unfortunately, we didn't get to see him play down there in Orlando, but he still has All-Pro on his resume. So, yeah, it looks like he's going to be one of the best at his position over the next few years. So, glad you had a great time. It looked like a fantastic event there. It was in the Dublin Convention Centre along the Liffey there, wasn't it? It seemed like a massive crowd.
Yeah, like it just goes to show the kind of interest in the sport here, that they can pack out a venue like that in the middle of like the off season, way between the combine, between and the draft, you know.
Yeah.
When really football should be dead.
I remember 6 years ago, like they did a similar, I think it was 5 or 6 years ago, Facebook was giving me the on this day reminders there a couple of weeks ago. And it was a lot of the Vikings players, so Notre Dame guys. So it would have been actually the lead up to the 2012 game against Navy. And it was John Sullivan, who was the centre at the time, Harrison Smith, who was probably just a rookie then, and Kyle Rudolph. And then it was just in like a small little room in Croke Park. And now I'm looking at the pictures and the videos and stuff from this time around when all these players are coming over. And it's just scaled up massively. Just goes to show you in 6 short years how popular the game at the pro and the college level has become.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was there at that Croke Park event, and you know, like it's apples and oranges. Like, you just can't compare the interest and the size of both events, which is great to see. Like,
it is. It's fantastic.
We've got some breaking news. Do you have breaking news music?
That's the ESPN Sports Center. So go for it. This isn't Dez Bryant related now, is it?
No. Free agent quarterback Mark Sanchez has been suspended for the first 4 games of 2018 for violating the NFL's performance enhancing substances policy.
Wow.
So there you go.
Why is a guy like that doing shit like that?
Seriously. No idea.
I don't know. Like, anyway, the buff fumble lives on. Yeah. Right, we'll move away from NFL players in Ireland. We'll get back to US-based players. So let's chat about the Kaepernick situation. It's crazy that we're still talking about it, but it's popping up again. You're very vocal on the subject. You have a great piece in the 42.ie. If anybody hasn't read it, it's the curious case of Kaepernick's unemployment. Is that the title of it?
The quarterback, the president, and the divided states of America. Yeah.
My apologies.
No, you're good.
I highly suggest anybody that hasn't read it to read it first of all. But
and the weird thing is that I wrote that in February last year, and it applies just as much right today as it does it as it did then. Like, it's just crazy how the situation has not moved on at all.
It really is. And so Seattle had a look at him, but I think he said that he wasn't going to nail, or he was going to nail next year, so they decided against it, and they signed Chris Smith, who has literally zero snaps in the regular season, so nobody knows who this guy is. So, and like, it's strange because Seattle and Portland are obviously quite liberal cities by American standards. So I just find it strange. It's like, geez, if you can't get a job in a city like Seattle, that's in there, you know, all along that western kind of seaboard there is very, very liberal. And, you know, a lot of the points that this whole issue raises is kind of conservative versus liberal logic and all that sort of stuff. I just found it surprising that he didn't really get a look in. And I found a nice tool actually online. I don't know if you've seen it. It's on the Washington Post. It's called the Cap Tracker. And it basically has all the stats broken down, and it has a nice little graph. Me being the science nerd, I'm like all over the graphs and the stats and all. And it basically has cap right down the middle. So it uses this kind of algorithm and stats. So out of 32 qualifying QBs from the 2017 season and his 2016 stats, he had 59.2% completion, 16 touchdowns, 4 ints. So based on, they have this little stat that they have, it's kind of like a yards per attempt stat where they credit the QBs for touchdowns and they penalize them for ints and stuff. Cap was better than 10 starters on 2017 NFL rosters. He was around the same as 7, and 15 were better. So he was basically plum in the middle, and that's starters. Yeah. So how the hell is he not even getting a look in as a backup quarterback at this stage? It seems crazy to me.
Yeah, I've watched the comment section, and I've spent a lot of time on Twitter.
Yeah.
Evolve their argument that, so first of all, it was he wasn't good enough, so the stats prove that he's clearly good enough.
Yeah.
The second is, you know, oh well, actually he doesn't really want a job. He comes out, he tweets videos of himself working out, he still looks in phenomenal shape, he can still throw the ball really well, and that argument dies a death. Now it's, oh well, actually it's a business decision by teams. They don't need that distraction on the team. You know what's really good for business in the NFL? Winning fucking football games is really good for business in the NFL. And if you're a team like the Seattle Seahawks, who are so dependent on your quarterback,
yep.
Russell Wilson goes down in the first quarter of the season.
Fucked.
I mean, yeah, absolutely screwed. Unless they have a player like Colin Kaepernick that they can call upon. Not just because he does play a similar style of football than Russell Wilson, because he kind of moved away from that in his last season with the 49ers. There was less designed runs. He was throwing more from the pocket. But he can still be that player if he needs to be.
Mm.
I mean, Stephen Morris, the guy they signed, who has been with 4 teams in the NFL, he has been on the active roster of teams. So in the 54-man match day squad for 1 week. Wow. Of his NFL career.
Crazy.
One week. And that was for a week 17 game for the Colts. And obviously he didn't see any of the field. I can't obviously win the argument until it happens. But my argument is that the team that signs Kaepernick will actually see a boost, because there are more people now that support him. And the opinion polls hold this out. Like, there are more people who support what he's doing than people who are against it. And it's just crazy that in a country that values their constitution so much that they can't even value the very first thing that's written in their constitution, which is free speech, which is what, like, he is doing the perfect protest. It is peaceful, it is silent, it's not disrupting anybody else's life, and yet it's still not good enough. And, you know, my issue with, and people can say it's football, but the treatment of Eric Reed, his former teammate with the 49ers, probably one of the top 5 safeties in the NFL last season, based on Pro Football Focus stats, based on whatever metric you want to use, he can't get a job. And if he can't get a job, it's certainly not because of what he does on the field, because of what he was doing during the anthem before. And, like, lads, it's a fucking song. Like,
yeah. And there's a lot of arguments saying, oh, he's, you know, well, he's disrespecting the military and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, those arguments are quickly debunked because it's not really about the military. And the whole military procession in NFL games is only something that happened in the last few years anyway, because there was a lot of money involved. So it's like,
exactly,
it's not like, yeah, that's around since the dawn of time either, you know. So it's always a new argument.
Yeah, when you and I were watching football first, there was no military involvement in the NFL. That is a relatively recent phenomenon. Yeah. And for people to claim that it has been the way forever is just ridiculous.
Like, yeah, and we all know now that the players used to be in the locker room just when the anthem was playing anyway. So it's like, I think it's gone so much over the top with the patriotism. It's like, as soon as someone kind of is seen to be slightly, and he's not disrespecting like America whatsoever, but like people see, oh, well, he's kneeling during an anthem or whatever bullshit they want to come out with. It's like all of a sudden, well, hang on a second. He hates America when clearly he just wants, you know, he's just looking out for the welfare of all its citizens, not just, you know, ones of a certain race or creed or whatever. He's just looking out for American citizens in general.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, this is it. Like, nobody wants to see cops who should really be following the rule of law more than most taking, you know, becoming judge, jury, and executioner. Like, we've seen too many mistakes for that to be allowed to happen. Like, too many people with fake guns or with fucking mobile phones in their hands being mistaken for guns are being shot to death when due process is not being followed. And, like, right, it does happen that a lot of these people are African American or people of color, for reasons that we both know why that's happening in that, for that particular demographic, because of, you know, institutional racism within certain law enforcement sections around the US. But at the same time, Kaepernick's protest is colorless. It's about the killings. It's not about who is being killed. It's about the fact the killings are happening. That's the issue. Like, and everyone should be supporting this.
Yeah.
This is the thing I can't understand. Like, I wrote a kind of update on my Kaepernick kind of piece there recently enough on the 42 as well. And what kind of prompted it was when the protests about the anti-gun protests that happened after that awful shooting in the school in Florida, and the Patriots put on a plane for some of the students from the school who couldn't afford to travel.
That's
to protest.
Right.
Yeah. And on the plane, there was a card from Robert Kraft that had a quote that said, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has." That's a Margaret Mead quote. And, like, for the Patriots and an NFL owner to use a quote like that when they are blackballing, you know, a perfectly reasonable starting NFL quarterback because he is trying to change the world, it just makes me so angry. Yeah, it just makes me so angry. Now, look, like, of course, old white billionaires are going to be out of touch with, you know, normal people. Like, I completely get that. Like, but I think someone said it to me today on Twitter, like, fans have to start standing up. They have to start speaking with their feet. They have to start writing in to the team owner saying, look, we're cool with this guy because we want to win football games. That's what we want. We want to go back to watching football games and winning football games. I said it to you recently enough, like, if the Jacksonville Jaguars had Colin Kaepernick on their team, they're very possibly the Super Bowl champions.
Yeah. It's very possible,
that's the difference you make. Like, that's the difference. With that defense and Colin Kaepernick, who doesn't turn the ball over, you said it yourself, 4 interceptions in his last season. Like,
yeah.
You know, and historically one of the lowest interception rates in NFL history. He got his team to a Super Bowl before. He absolutely could have won the Super Bowl with Jacksonville Jaguars last year.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Like, there's not a team other than, obviously, the New England Patriots with Tom Brady that wouldn't have benefited from Colin Kaepernick being their quarterback. Of the final four teams, like,
yeah,
you know, he would have been better than the options that were there. So that's where we are with it, and it's just...
Yeah, and to touch on the Eric Reid situation, so obviously he met with the Bengals, and he met with the owner of the Bengals, Mike Brown, who, in fairness, has overseen the Bengals taking very fucking questionable players into their roster. Guys that have actually done harm. Like, You look at you look at Vontaze Burfict again. He's suspended for another few games. Like, he's always in trouble. They've had Pacman Jones, and they had the late Chris Henry, and the wide receiver before he passed away. He was in and out of trouble as well. Like, they take questionable, you know, character players on all the time. And here's a guy who, as far as I'm aware, hasn't done anything that fallen the foul of the law, and he's just protesting. And the whole meeting with the owner was just, oh, well, we're probably not going to take it if you're going to protest and kneel next season.
Yeah, and she looked like the Bengals and Joe Mixon. I mean, Joe Mixon probably a first round talent, you know, in terms of his on-field ability. But they were able to get him where they got him in the second round because he punched a woman for absolutely no reason at 2 o'clock in the morning and has shown very little remorse for doing that as well. Like,
and you look at other guys, like even Reuben Foster there, like he's in trouble for absolutely beating the shit out of his girlfriend. He ruptured her eardrums and everything and like really gave her a bad going over. He's still with the team. And even like Tyreek Hill, you know, done some bad stuff in the past. And even like they're hyping Johnny Manziel again, who also beat the shit out of his girlfriend. So it's like, hang on a second here. You know, you have little scumbags like this on your roster that have actually done harm to other human beings, physically beat them, and yeah, here they are on NFL rosters. They're employed. And here's some other guys like Eric Reid and Kaepernick that are just, you know, exercising their right as a US citizen to peaceful protest, and yet they can't get a job. It's crazy.
It's just kind of, it makes me hate the sport at times. It really does. Like, I just,
you don't know where to start almost. It's like, you just don't know where to start.
Like, it's really hard to defend it. Like, it's just so hard to kind of justify watching it every Sunday, to justify writing about it, to justify hyping up, because I love the sport. I coach the sport. I'm involved in it. I obviously write about it. You know, I really want it to be better than it is. It's just so hard to kind of, I suppose, justify handing over my money for Game Pass every year when teams treat their players like this.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Like,
I think it just highlights as well the deep divide that actually is in the US. And like, there's such a, you know, it's a two-party, like, we won't get into politics too much, but a two-party system over here. It's, you're either one or the other. There's no kind of in-between, really. And these kind of things just kind of highlight the extent to the divide that there is in the country between people that have like political leanings one way or the other.
And this is the thing, though, like, it's not like people are taking sides, like you just said, based on their political party rather than actually trying to understand the situation.
Yeah,
because if anything, and far be it for me to tell anyone what to believe, but if you're a dyed-in-the-wool Republican, you should be completely on Colin Kaepernick's side. Because he's fundamentally taking the First Amendment and using it to protest. What more can you ask of a person?
Yeah,
you really can't ask for anything else. Like, so
the same individuals are, you know, championing their rights to the Second Amendment about, you know, the gun control and the NRA. So it's like, what's the difference? Here's a guy that's strongly exercising his right in the First Amendment. You know, it's like you can't pick and choose. It's all or nothing. Like.
Yeah, this is it's well, we kind of know about a la carte Catholicism, you know, in Ireland, that people do pick and choose their bits, and it does seem a little bit like that. Like, well, actually, and you know, unfortunately, it does all come back to some people see the Constitution as being for white Americans only, and that's as simple as that. And you know, there are, you know, I'm bringing it right up to the draft that's coming up, like. If you think about the way people talk about Josh Allen and the way people are talking about Lamar Jackson, there are very high-profile draft experts, and I use experts in inverted commas because absolutely nobody is a draft expert. it's you might as well be doing astrology as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, the way they speak about Josh Allen's accuracy and Lamar Jackson's accuracy. Lamar Jackson actually has better accuracy, yet they use it as a negative for him and a positive for Josh Allen. And we both know the difference between the two players.
Yeah.
you know, there are still plenty, unfortunately, of people involved in football who think that black athletes just aren't smart enough to play quarterback, which is such an antiquated approach. Like, we've seen, like, Cam Newton is only 2 years removed from winning MVP, and, like, I'm not just going to draw examples. There are plenty of black quarterbacks who were never given a chance, who were because of the color of their skin. And Colin Kaepernick and the likes of Eric Reid, for as much as they're protesting civil liberties and civil rights, they're also, in a way, kind of standing up for what Jackie Robinson did all those years ago as well, that trying to make sport equal for everyone. Because at the end of the day, we just want to watch sport. We just want to play sport. We just want to enjoy it. And we want to see the best athletes possible doing it, regardless of religion or color of skin or anything like that.
Well said. And you've done my job for me, because I was going to roll into the draft. We'll touch on the draft for the last few minutes. So, are you excited?
Do you know what? I used to be a real draft nerd. I used to like watch as much film as I can. But then, I say the older I get, I'm 35, I'm not 65. But like, it's just such a crapshoot. Like, it's just such an absolute crapshoot. This year is interesting, obviously, because we could have as many as 6 quarterbacks going in the first round. And that's obviously always really interesting. And the fact that nobody really knows what the Browns are going to do with the first overall pick. I mean, there's still lots of people who think that Saquon Barkley could go number one and really throw, I suppose, a spanner in the works if they do draft a running back. Actually, as it happens, Landon Collins thinks that the Giants will go Barkley if he's there at number 2. So there's a bit of breaking news for you.
I bloody hope so. And I just know from obviously being a fan and covering them for years that they kind of are, I've said this on the show with the lads, the Giants are very much a best player available type of team on their draft board. It just so happens that, you know, one of the needs, it could be a quarterback. One of the needs is definitely a running back, because they were 26th or 27th in the run game last year. And someone like Barkley instantly just upgrades your offense. I think the Giants, like, it's very rare that the Giants are in a position like this. And I think it's a double whammy, because we don't really know. Like, you could throw a blank on all 5 or 6 of these QBs. There's no real standout stud like there has been in previous years when you have the likes of Luck and all these guys coming out. Mm-hmm. There's just no true, like, if you break down guys, like, people say Darnold, turnover prone, had 13 ints in 2017 against the Pac Division, which isn't, you know, loaded with talent the way it used to be. Rosen, his crosstown rival, apparently low level of attention and his intelligence isn't the best. And Mora said, who was his coach, said he would take Donald over Rosen as his QB, which is crazy. Josh Allen, accuracy obviously a problem, didn't face the greatest competition at Wyoming. Jackson, can he play pro-style football? We don't know. Like, you look at the way he played at Louisville there. Traditionally, that sort of style of quarterback play hasn't really translated to the pro level. When you look at Manziel, who was talented but really kind of flamed out, he may get another shot, who knows. Other guys that have won the Heisman with that style of play, RG3, another one, didn't really happen, even though he's back with the Ravens. Can he hang in the pocket like a pro-style quarterback and make the reads? And then you have Mayfield in the mix. His stock is starting to drive up now, but he has character concerns. Like, he got broke up by a cop when he was out having a few beers, and he's done some questionable things during games. So it's kind of like they all have a black mark against them. And, you know, us and all the so-called experts, like you said, none of us really know who's going to go first or even in the top 5 or 6 quarterbacks. It's a crapshoot, like you said.
Yeah, this is it. Like, I mean, obviously everything depends on what the Browns do first overall, because, like, you know, if they go Barkley, it just, you know, we could have
a run of QBs.
And, you know, any team you can think of might trade up to 2. Like, you know, like the Bills have the ammunition to trade up to 2. The Patriots have the ammunition to trade up to 2. Like, the Patriots do need to replace Tom Brady at some stage.
Yeah.
And they've 2 firsts and 2 seconds. I mean, that's probably enough to get up to 2. excuse me. What I will say is, like, even evaluating the tape, I think you do kind of, you end up having your own biases. Like, for me, like, Josh Rosen is my favorite quarterback. It's not necessarily even because of what he does on the field. It's the fact, you know, he's very politically active. He's very outspoken against the current administration there in the US. You know, things like that make me like him, because it shows to me, do you know what? he actually has a brain. He's thinking about stuff outside of football. And I think that, like, that's the kind of thing that we love in Aaron Rodgers. That's the kind of thing that we loved in Peyton Manning, that they had interests outside of football as well. They weren't singularly driven. And that's why kind of Rosen kind of appeals to me a little bit as well. Plus, fuck Jim Mora as well. Like, I mean, to throw your former quarterback under the bus just to get a few sound bites on TV, like, fuck that. Like,
bad,
no,
form.
I hate
very
that.
Bad form. Yeah, absolutely. I was very, yeah, very absolutely surprised to hear that now, I have to say. But the Moras are always known for sound bites, aren't they?
Playoffs? Like, so. What do you mean playoffs?
it could go. Yeah, it really is. It's a very tough one to call. Like, and I think if two QBs go first, if it's the Browns at one and then the Giants at two, can you see a lot of teams start to panic then? They're like, oh shit, we're running out of QBs here. And you might see teams jumping up.
Yeah, the Jets aren't going anywhere from three because obviously they traded up there, and they're going to go QB as well. But if it goes 1, 2, 3 QB, I mean, that fourth pick for the Browns, what's that worth?
Yeah,
I mean, it's worth an absolute fortune again. Like, and the other thing is though, it's worth a fortune in stock, draft stock, but it's also Barkley, you know, a generational talent at running back to stick behind your new rookie quarterback. It's very hard to see how they could trade out of there. I think, you know, there's value in trading back. There absolutely is. But when you get a chance to get a generational talent like Barkley, like, you have to kind of go for it. And, like, this is even ignoring the fact that you've got the likes of Bradley Chubb, you know, who's still going to be on the board at that stage as well. Like, it's fascinating. In that sense, I mean, that we, and Quentin Nelson, like, people are talking about him being the only good offensive lineman really in this draft, like, as well. Like, there's another player that can go really high as well. So,
yeah,
for me, like, go on.
No, and this is why I was saying, like, the Giants are in this position where I don't think they've had a pick that could be so important, because if they do take a quarterback, like you said, we'll say the Browns go QB and the Giants go QB at two. The Jets obviously go QB at three. Then, like you said, the Browns can tax that ass if they want to give their fourth pick to somebody else. So I think there's so much, a lot of eyeballs are going to be like, what are the Giants doing? And if they go this way, teams are going to have a contingency plan. If they take Barkley, it makes some teams that are in like fourth and onwards, it kind of makes them, it makes things a little bit easier for them. But I think if they do take a quarterback and you get that run of three QBs, I think a lot of teams are going to be scrambling very quickly. And I just think that the Giants haven't really been in a position like that in a long, long time, you know, having such a huge emphasis on their pick. It's for me being a Giants fan, it's very, very interesting to see that, you know.
And like, there's obviously such an argument to be made that Eli, you need to have the replacement in there for Eli. But at the same time, I mean, if you can get a hoard and you finish 3-13 again next year and you get a high pick, then you take your quarterback next year or whatever. Like,
yeah,
it's very tempting. It's very tempting to go that way, to trade back, let the Bills or whoever it is get their quarterback, and just say, look, we're going to have another touch and go season, but look, we promise you it will be better going forward because of that. Like you said, there's no quarterback in this class that's an Andrew Luck, that, you know, is a surefire, you know, franchise quarterback. They all have question marks over them. So maybe it is the opportunity to go backwards, even though it's so tempting to kind of we have to replace Eli. Best thing for me is that there's going to be such a run on quarterbacks, possibly five in the top 10, that, like, the Raiders at 10 actually suddenly have a really good draft pick now, even though 10 is normally that kind of in between first round number that, like, what do you do with it? Like, you know, like, there's actually every chance that Quentin Nelson could still be there at 10.
Yeah, there's a lot of talented players at different positions there if you had 10.
Yeah, exactly. Now, like, I'd rather they went linebacker, to be honest. Like, the O-line wasn't as good last year as it was the year before, but, like, they still have Kelechi Assembly at guard. You know, like, you know, you can make do on the other side if you've got a player his talent playing that position and stuff like that. Like, so you know, I just like, yeah, like, I mean, last year we obviously took Gary and Connolly and he barely played a snap. Like, so, you know, you can get excited about these players, but they have to be able to make the field as well. So,
true. And the excitement about Saquon, like, I would be surprised if he did go first overall, just because two reasons, really. Like, the first being the nature of the game as it is now. You know, there's not as much of a heavy emphasis on the run game. So, you know, 10 years ago, it's when you would have been looking at potentially running backs being taken first overall. And secondly, it's in the last few years, teams have shown how much value they've gotten out of really good running backs. You look at like Kareem Hunt and Alvin Kamara, who have been taken in the later rounds. Look at the production they've got out of guys like that. I know Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus has said, you know, like he wouldn't go near Saquon that early. Just there's so many good running backs that you could get great value out of if you go further down the draft pick. So to me, that I would be, and even being taken at two is like, that's very high for a running back in today's style of football. But he, like you said, yeah, he is one of those once in a generation type talents that would be hard to pass up on a guy like that that could change your offense immediately.
Yeah, exactly. But like, the thing is, I mean, you then have to ask the question, like, when was the last time a running back won his team a Super Bowl?
Yeah, very. Yeah, that's a fair point.
Like, as good as he could be, as brilliant as he is for fantasy users and things like that, shout out to DraftKings. but
thanks, DraftKings. If,
like, you know, like, they running backs just don't win Super Bowls for teams anymore, sadly. Now, I know he offers more than just a running back. I know he's good in the passing game and things like that. Like, but like, I'd be much more comfortable with the Browns taking him at four because they've got their quarterback at one.
Yeah, yeah.
Than I would with the Giants taking him at two. Like, I think it's just a much easier pick when you've got that bonus pick in the first round that Cleveland have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, use it. Like, use it in that bonus kind of way.
Yeah.
As in, like, we've no business having this pick. Let's take the best player on the board at that stage. So, although my own personal theory is that they should take two quarterbacks and then do a mega trade after the draft with someone for one of the quarterbacks. So,
Jesus, all right. Okay, I'm interested that we won't spoil it here for the fans, but we will be doing a mock draft in a couple of days. So we're going to do that live on Facebook, and we'll do our little Paddy's panel. So do you want to be involved in the panel with us? We'll do our little kind of mock draft like the lads on NFL.com and whatever do. So you want to stick our name in the hat for our little mock draft?
Yeah, sounds good.
Grand. We'll leave it at that. I've kept you here long enough. I know you have better things to be doing than talking shite with me about football all night. So, Stephen, great having you on. Nice to hear your thoughts on the Kaepernick situation, which is still ongoing. As crazy as that sounds, here we are a year later, it's still ongoing. And enjoy the draft. It's going to be a fantastic night. Who knows what the hell is going to happen, but I'm sure, as always, there's going to be plenty of surprises. So, again, Steve, thanks for taking time out to chat with us on Paddy Pigskin.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Steve.
And that will do it for episode 33 of Paddy Pigskin. Thank you very much for tuning in. Like I said earlier on, the start of the show, make sure you keep an eye on our social media pages. We're going to be doing our mock draft on Facebook during the week, so keep an eye on that. It's going to be good fun. We're going to have a few beers. We're probably going to make a lot of shy picks, but we're going to enjoy ourselves, and that's what it's all about. So Facebook, probably do a little bit on Insta as well. And of course, like I said earlier, we're on Spotify now. Fantastic news. Check us out. Follow, subscribe, whatever the button tells you to do. And enjoy all the episodes coming up of Paddy Pigskin. So tune in next time, where, as always, we will have less slant and more slantcha. I'm Gary Somerville. Take care.